A spate of anonymous text messages have warned of prison time for illegal voting, and now voting rights groups are calling for an investigation. It's Thursday, October 17th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, there's another closely watched election in one of Wisconsin's most competitive congressional districts.
This election is about three things. It's gas, groceries, and grandkids.
Working class folks in this district are looking for someone that they see themselves reflected in.
WPR's Hope Kerwin reports on the third district contest between Republican U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden and Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook. Stay with us.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Voting rights groups are asking law enforcement to investigate text messages which warn of prison time for illegal voting. As Sarah Lear reports, advocates say the anonymous text messages may have targeted young Wisconsinites with misleading information.
In a letter this week, the League of Women Voters asked the federal and state attorneys general to investigate a spate of anonymous texts. The messages warn that it's illegal to vote in a state where you're not eligible. Deborah Cronmiller leads Wisconsin's League of Women Voters. She says, based on reports to the League, the messages may have targeted Wisconsin college students.
This could be confusing, and it could, in fact, discourage or dissuade an eligible voter from casting their ballot.
Under Wisconsin law, you need to live in your voting district for at least 28 days before registering to vote. That means students from out of state who come to Wisconsin for college can choose to vote here. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde has loaned his campaign another $7 million in the final months of his race against Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. But the latest campaign finance reports show Baldwin has dominated fundraising and spending throughout this year's Senate race. Hovde has loaned his campaign a total of $20 million. That accounts for nearly 72% of the money that he's raised. Baldwin has raised nearly $48 million from her campaign, the bulk of that from individual donors. That's well above the total from her 2018 Senate run. Baldwin has spent nearly $44 million on her campaign this year. Hovde has spent just more than $22 million thus far. Wisconsin ended its 2024 fiscal year in June with a $4.6 billion budget surplus. As Joe Schultz reports, that was larger than expected.
In May, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimated the surplus would be around $3.25 billion at the end of the 2024 fiscal year. This week, Governor Tony Evers said the final surplus was more than $1 billion higher than those projections. Jason Stein is with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He says the state is expected to end 2025 with a surplus as well.
We still have a massive, massive surplus. There's still room for the governor and lawmakers to do additional stuff in the next state budget.
But he also says policymakers will need to be a bit more cautious when they prepare the next state budget, especially when it comes to ongoing spending. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh Chancellor Andrew Levitt will step down in June of next year. He is the fourth chancellor in the Universities of Wisconsin system to either announce plans to resign or be fired since December of 2023. The announcement comes roughly 6 months after UW-Oshkosh faculty held a no-confidence vote in Levitt's leadership. It also comes as the university continues to grapple with a budget deficit. Stephanie Spehar is the co-president of a faculty union on campus.
A change in leadership will only solve so much. We have really deep structural problems at our state universities. This includes UW-Oshkosh.
She says the universal issue facing UW campuses is a lack of state funding. In a letter to the campus community, Levitt said the decision stems from his, quote, commitment to do what is best for the university. He plans to stay on as a chemistry professor. The owner of Minocqua Brewing Company was arrested yesterday on rarely used criminal defamation charges. Rob Mentzer reports on the developing case.
Kirk Bangstad owns the brewery and sells what he calls progressive beer. In 2021, he launched a political super PAC that has funded billboards and lawsuits in Wisconsin. Last year, a jury found Bangstad had defamed the publisher of the Minocqua-based Lakeland Times newspaper. Bangstad was ordered to pay $750,000. He appealed, but this month settled that case for $580,000. Bangstad's lawyer, Frederick Melms, says Wisconsin's criminal defamation law violates the First Amendment.
This is anything but standard. This is not a statute that gets used a lot. Probably because it's unconstitutional.
Bangstad has not been charged by the district attorney. Rob Menser, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Hope Kerwin reports on the competitive race for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Stay with us.
Your place for independent journalism with the best of NPR and WPR.
Wisconsin is expected to be one of the most competitive states in the general election.
What is your advice on what all of us should be talking about, issues that you think?
The environment is super important to me and preserving that.
We've really been working for reproductive freedoms, LGBTQ rights.
But I definitely do feel some of that lack of enthusiasm for my
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
And finally, when Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden won his Western Wisconsin district, he presented himself as a political outsider. Now he spent 2 years in Congress, and Van Orden's firebrand approach has featured prominently in his race against Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook. Hope Kerwin reports on the race for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which is one of the most competitive in the state.
While he's now an incumbent, Derek Van Orden's political outsider brand remains central to his campaign. In one of his TV ads, Van Orden compares his colleagues in Washington to a herd of unruly goats.
You got a bunch of loudmouth, preening politicians. It's absolute chaos.
The Republican from Prairie du Chien frequently talks about his humble beginnings, raised by a single mother, and his 26 years in the military. He says he hopes to return to Congress in order to lower consumer prices, improve public safety, and tighten border security. Here he is talking to supporters at a Trump campaign rally in Eau Claire.
This election is about three things. It's gas, groceries, and grandkids.
Political science professor Anthony Chergosky from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse says it's not surprising to see Van Orden try to hang on to his political outsider image. Chergosky says voters frequently believe someone from outside of Washington politics will have a better understanding of what communities need. And the label explains a lot about the 3rd Congressional District's voting history.
What can explain an area that votes strongly for Obama twice and then goes the other way, going for Trump twice? And the best I can do is to say that this area responds to the outsider.
Van Orden has been a longtime supporter of former President Donald Trump. He also shares Trump's reputation as a political firebrand. Van Orden made national news when he heckled President Joe Biden during his State of the Union speech this year, and when he traded insults with Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. He received the most backlash when he cursed at a group of U.S. Senate pages last year. The teenagers were lying on the floor of the U.S. Capitol's rotunda to take pictures of the famous dome. The congressman accused the teens of treating the Capitol like, quote, a frat house common room. Democrat Rebecca Cook from Eau Claire has tried to seize on this behavior as evidence that Van Orden does not represent the district's moderate stance.
That, to me, is not the decorum that we want to see from a member of Congress. So I think, in my perspective, I think he thinks he's better than us.
Cook is a former political fundraiser and is now a business owner in her hometown. She says she's running to represent the working class in Washington by lowering health care costs and supporting farms like the one she grew up on. Cook has tried to argue that Van Orden is an advocate of radical policies, but some organizations that track congressional votes have a different take. The political website 538 says the congressman has the most moderate voting record out of all of Wisconsin's Republicans in Congress. The 3rd District is arguably the most divided in Wisconsin, and voters there are split on whether they like Van Orden's approach. While recently enjoying Riverside Park in downtown La Crosse, Paul Krause says he likes that Van Orden isn't afraid to critique people on both sides of the aisle. He thinks Van Orden's less polished tone is a product of his military career.
I think often he's just very honest and forthright in terms of what he has to say. May rub people the wrong way, but you know, that's kind of up to where you're at.
Sarah Papian lives near Richland Center and stopped by the Viroqua Farmers Market earlier this month. She described Van Orden as abrasive and said his aggressive tone is at odds with how people in the district behave.
I may not agree with all of the Rebecca Cook stuff either, but she does seem to be, like I said, that approachable, able to talk to, able to listen to without being talked down to.
Trigoski says it's hard to say who voters will ultimately see as the outsider candidate and whether the title really matters in an increasingly partisan political climate. Given the district's support of Trump in the last two presidential elections, he says Cook's campaign knows she'll need to win over at least a few swing voters in order to flip the seat. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks so much for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Don't forget, you can find all of our political coverage at WPR.org/election2024, and you could leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app or send us an email at newscasts@WPR.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.